Hello and welcome to another episode of Twimmel Talk, the podcast where I interview interesting people doing interesting things in machine learning and artificial intelligence. I'm your host, Sam Charrington. For today's show, the last in our Train AI series, I'm joined by Ghazaleh Mirsharif, a machine learning scientist working on computer vision at Figure 8. Ghazaleh and I caught up at the Train AI conference to discuss a couple of the projects she's worked on in that field, namely her research into the classification of retinal images and her work on parking sign detection from Google Street View images. The former, which attempted to diagnose diseases like diabetic retinopathy using retinal scans, is similar to the work I spoke with Ryan Poplin about on Twimmel Talk 122. In my conversation with Ghazaleh, we focus on how she built her datasets for each of these projects and some of the key lessons she's learned along the way. If you've been following this series, you've heard me thank Figure 8 for their support and sponsorship. But have you taken a moment to check them out at figure-8.com yet? If not, you should. They provide the essential human-in-the-loop AI platform for data science and machine learning teams, which trains, tests, and tunes machine learning models to make AI work in the real world. Finally, we're celebrating the second anniversary of the podcast this week. Have you found this podcast useful? If so, we want to hear how. Submit your written comments via our anniversary page at twimmel.ai/2AV, or leave us a voicemail at 636-735-3658. Again, the second anniversary page is at twimmel.ai/2AV. A quick note before we jump in, this episode was recorded live on site at the Train AI conference, so there is some unavoidable background noise. All right, everyone, I'm here with Ghazaleh Mirsharif. Ghazaleh is a machine learning scientist in computer vision at Figure 8. And we are here, as you can tell, perhaps by the background noise, at the Figure 8 Train AI conference in San Francisco. Ghazaleh, welcome to This Week in Machine Learning and AI.
Thank you. I'm excited about being here.
I am as well. You know, it's the tradition on the podcast to have guests start out by introducing themselves and talking about how they got interested and started in machine learning and AI. What's your story?
Sure. So I'm currently a machine learning scientist with a focus in computer vision, Figure 8. So I completed my PhD in computer science last summer. And before that, I did my master in Iran in artificial intelligence. Then I applied for the PhD program in United States and came here for school.
Okay.
So my focus was mainly computer vision, and I have worked on different topics and application of computer vision in different areas, which I really enjoyed so far. And I decided that I wanted to do the same by joining the industry. So that's where I'm here now.
What initially sparked your interest in computer vision? How did you choose that as a field to study in grad school?
Yeah. When I was an undergrad student, I met this professor in one of the master program at the university in my hometown. So he was doing research on a medical project on like a detection of diseases using the retinal images. I got really interested in that research, and I talked to him and started to learn about that project. Then I applied for the master program and got into the artificial intelligence program in Iran. And I decided that after taking courses in image processing and computer vision, I decided that this is the area that I really like to be in. I like to learn how I can apply AI and computer vision to help in different topics, like medical project, which is really my interest. And I have experience in medical image processing. So that's where like I wanted to work on my thesis on this topic, and I got back to that professor I collaborated with him on this particular project and did my thesis on that So that's how it all started.
Okay. And so what was your thesis on?
My thesis was on classification of retinal images, retinal vessels in retinal images into arteries and veins. So this is still one of the latest topics in medical image processing that because retinal vessels, they are, it can be indicative of eye diseases, prevalent eye diseases like diabetic retinopathy, which is the leading cause of blindness. So any alternation changes in the vessels could be early indicative of this such diseases. So we had this data that collected from patients, these retinal images, and we wanted to process the data and classify the vessels into arteries and veins, and then measure the width of vessels and vessels like arteries and veins, and based on the ratio and comparing it to our normal ratio in patients, to see if we can detect such diseases at their earliest stages. So this was one of the topics that I work on. So I basically work on classification of vessels into arteries and veins to help with doing some measurements that can help predict such diseases at earlier stages and hopefully prevent blindness by detecting this at earlier stages.
Interesting. So not too long ago, I did an interview with Ryan Poplin, who's a research scientist at Google, who recently had some work published around starting from, I'm assuming, similar types of retinal scans, retinal fundus scans. And from that, determining all kinds of demographic types of information or indicators, like, you know, whether it was a male or a female or their age, things like that, from these retinal images. Apparently, we can learn a lot from the eyes in addition to just kind of preventing eye health.
Yeah, I heard about that. Actually, I saw that. And I know, like, they are looking at the vessel networks in images for females and for males, and there are some differences that they can, using computer vision and artificial intelligence, they are now able to extract those patterns from the images and understand like the small changes and find like this network could belong to a female or male, which is really hard to do by human eye,
So for your research, how did you get started? Did you inherit some training data set that you that was already labeled that you could just start working on, or did you have to build that up from scratch?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like without training data, we really cannot go anywhere. Like that's the first step to do a research, is collecting data and ensuring that the data has the data is clean and has the labels. Mm-hmm. And then once you have enough data, you can start training the models and then improving a model by collecting more data. So a lot of time research are stuck at the first stage because that is like time consuming and hard process, especially for medical image annotations. It needs some expertise to label and annotate medical images. So we collect that those images from a hospital, an eye hospital in my hometown. We collaborated with a doctor and a team of doctors that were monitoring the research. And then we used some online data sets that were publicly available with the labels, which helped me to do the research. But now currently I'm a figure eight, and providing training data is much easier. And I think the research goes much faster for me here.
Uh-huh. So you had the collaborations with the hospital to provide access to training data. How did the project evolve? What were the key steps for you?
The key step, like collecting the images, are a hard process. Like medical images are collected in hospitals and using devices that can be expensive. We learned from the doctors how to label that data, and then they monitor the research, so make sure that we have the ground truth data that we can develop our model and validate our model. And then once we build that data, we started like by looking through the computer vision methods that could be exploited to further this research. So I started reading papers, the literature people have done, the work that people already have done, and decided that this, after validating and testing different models, I decided that these particular kind of features are giving me good accuracy and these images for this type of task. And then I write the paper about it.
What were some of the models that you explored?
The model I used was some traditional model. At that time that I was doing that research, it was like maybe 6 or 7 years ago. So the advancement in deep learning, they still weren't like at this stage. So I used some traditional models, computer vision models, some classifiers like LDA method to we did feature extraction from the vessels, arteries and veins are different in color. And because arteries carry the blood with oxygen, so they are brighter than veins. Veins are darker. So from the pixel intensities, we could extract some features from the profile of vessels that could be differentiate the vessels from each other. And then there is this specific structure in the vessel network that is like a tree that every vessel branches into two other vessels. And then arteries and veins never cross the same type of vessels, but arteries can cross veins. So if you have an intersection of arteries and veins, you know that one of them is artery and the other one should be vein. So using such information, we improved the method and correct the vessels that were not returned as the correct labels by the model. And we improved the model.
Oh, interesting. And what were the key lessons learned that you discovered through this process that you have continued to use in your work today?
Yeah, at that time, like I said, there weren't that much training data, so we used some traditional models. And once you expand your research to like more images, you validate on more images, then you see that like you can exploit, for example, at this time there are deep learning models that they use a lot of training data and can do such tasks more accurately, classifying the vessels. And then if we can classify the vessels correctly, more accurately, then we can do these measurements, small measurements in the veins and arteries separately, and help with help with the early detection of these diseases. So that I learned that at this time, I really like to go back to that research again and provide more training data. Improve my model, use more advanced deep learning models to do that. I know that DeepMind, Google DeepMind are already doing a lot on this. And this is still an ongoing research because diabetic retinopathy is a prevalent disease that is causing the leading cause of blindness in the world. And this research could really help to prevent that.
I learned from the conversation with Ryan that there are a number of public data sets of retinal images. Did you use any of those?
Yeah, there are coming like more and more data sets now. People, I think it's really good to share data that research can, we can further the research. But a lot of time we cannot really share medical data because it contains personal data and right. It's hard to collect that data. That's good to know. It's a research that I have done a few years ago, but I really like to get back on that and see more of the data sets that are available now. And we can use our current AI human in the loop platform to get more labels and further the research.
What are some of the things you're working on nowadays?
Yeah, I'm currently working on this project, parking sign detection, which
I've heard about this.
I'm really excited Rob about this it. Yeah. So I'm working on this with my coworkers, Dr. Humayun Irshad, and it happens like when I came to San Francisco for work during the summer. I shipped my car from Houston. It was during the Hurricane Harvey in Houston. So I really didn't have that time to explore how tough driving can be here in San Francisco. So I started driving, and in the first couple of months, I got a lot of parking tickets. And I started using this app called Spot Angel.
Spot Angel?
Yes.
Okay.
Like the app helps you based on the GPS information on your car, like can say like what is your current location, and then based on the parking regulation applied to curbs, can send you a notification on when you need to move your car, for example, not to get a ticket for a street cleaning, because that's something I forget a lot. And I remember about that app, and I installed the app, and that really saved me many times from getting tickets. So I decided that I want to work on this research, because this is something we started last year when I was doing an internship in Spot Angels by detecting parking signs, finding the location of parking signs, the actual location on the map, and extracting a parking regulation that is assigned to each curb. Digitizing such information can help them with helping with the drivers to have a less stressful experience driving in cities like San Francisco, including myself. So I'm kind of helping myself with this research to.
So if Spot Angel exists and does this, what are you trying to accomplish with the research that's different?
Yeah, Spot Angels have been going through the street level images, Google Street View, or images that their user can collect. And then they have been going through this images manually and extracting the parking regulation. This is a really time consuming process, and it's costly. So computer vision models can help to extract a lot of those information in an automated way. So that's what I was doing there. And now we are extending the research by using deep learning models, by providing more training data on parking signs in San Francisco. And then we're hoping to build more accurate models to then read the text on the parking sign and extract the parking rules.
Have you found the getting access to the Google Street View data difficult, or is that freely available?
Google Street View is a public data set, so you can go and see the street view images, but to download them and publicly release that, then you need to talk with the providers of the data. So since we are doing this research, and we contacted them, and allowed us to release this data and use for this research, because this would be a research that I'm sure a lot of people would benefit from, because especially people who are driving in cities like San Francisco or New York, they know how hard it is, could be. We can have a safer environment by helping the drivers finding parking spots, or understanding the regulations faster. So yeah, we have that data now, and then we're providing a training data on top of that, building a more accurate model.
What kinds of techniques have you had to use to make this research work?
Yeah, like every other research, the first step was training data. We actually announced that data set that we used for the initial training of the model is released now publicly, so everybody can go and build their models on that and test it. So we used our Figure 8 AI human-in-the-loop platform to label the data that we collected from Google Street View imagery. And then we tested different deep learning models such as SSD and YOLO model and saw the results. And then using different round of active learnings, we retrained the model several times and feed new data to the model and improve the model. So currently, like, we can detect parking sign in the images with like accuracy more than 90% and with very low false positive rate. We're hoping that we can extend this to other cities, other dense areas such as Los Angeles, New York, San Diego, to using transfer learning models to extend this model to those cities.
Awesome. And to wrap things up, what advice would you have for someone who wants to take on a project like this?
What advice? Whenever I start a project like this, like for me, like when I was doing research in university, a hard part was that like a lot of time you're spending a lot of time on creating and labeling the data, like having access to data is not that easy. And mm-hmm. a lot of researchers are stuck in that step to build their models. I found that in industry, like by providing more training data, I can build much more accurate models much faster. So when I learned about this, like I could build models faster. So it's good that when people start a research, they explore the resources that could be available to them to like the models that are already available, like what data are publicly available or how they can access more data to like further research.
Great.
I think that's good to know.
Awesome. Well, Ghazala, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us.
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you.
All right, everyone, that's our show for today. For more information on Ghazala or any of the topics covered in this episode, head on over to twimlai.com/talk/144. Thanks again to Figure Eight for their sponsorship of this show and the Train AI series. To follow along with the entire series, visit twimlai.com/trainai2018. And show some love for this podcast's second anniversary and share how it's been helpful to you over at twimlai.com/2AV. Thanks so much for listening and catch you next time.